Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom. And we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the PT Pearl. Today we are talking into thoracic outlet syndrome, TOS, and we're going to talk about exactly what that means. So stick around if you've ever experienced any like hand tingling or numbness or different positions where you feel like your arm gets tired or your shoulder starts to hurt or you get burning, like all these different kinds of sensations that can come anywhere from like the chest, neck area all the way down to the hand. You're going to want to tune into this one.
Yeah, thoracic outlet is a very kind of interesting diagnosis because there are so many other things that can kind of give the same or a similar presentation somewhere in the arm. So when a lot of, you know, clinicians will be talking, they'll be saying, oh, is this carpal tunnel or is this ulnar nerve entrapment or is this, you know, blank or is it thoracic outlet? And in reality, there is some crossover in these things happening at the same time and one being a little more prominent than the other. And a lot of what Jen and I generally say, it's usually a yes and thing rather than, hey, this is only thoracic outlet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I've had many clients who come in and they say they have carpal tunnel, right? Because they do have the presentation. You can probably even test it and it would come back as far as our tests that we do, you know, for physical therapy. And it would come back presenting as carpal tunnel. And though, yes, it is happening right at this kind of carpal region. So we're talking like in the palm area, in the front of the palm area and like the wrist, that's where usually you're getting that carpal tunnel and then you're getting the numbness into the fingers and all of that. But when I start to address what's happening higher around the neck and the shoulder area, they will notice significant decrease in symptoms. Mm-hmm. So that's where, like Dom is talking about, we're not just saying, okay, it is entrapment only in the thoracic area, which is your upper back. So thoracic outlet itself, we're talking thoracic upper back, upper chest area. We're not just thinking about that. This can be entrapment. So entrapment means like think of something getting squished. So whether it is muscle tissue kind of getting really tight or it's even, it could be up into the first rib. So that's kind of putting pressure and kind of rising up into like the shoulder and the chest area. So we can have entrapment all the way around the neck, around almost like under the clavicle, the collarbone region, and up under the like rib. The armpit. We can get entrapments all the way down into the forearms and then all the way down into the wrist, presenting as carpal tunnel. And so that's what he means by like this entrapment, this nerve kind of pinching or not even just the nerve, but also the arterial system. And we'll get into that.
Yeah. And like, you want me to dive in kind of what, so a little more technical on what thoracic outlet might be or is, it's occlusion of the nervous system and blood flow down into the arm, generally up in this thoracic region that Jen was talking about, because up in what's called our scalenes, right on the side of the neck, if you kind of strum your fingers along the side of your neck, I always say it feels like guitar strings or something, that's right where all of our major nerves come out and our biggest vascular bundle of like our artery and our vein comes out kind of right along there behind our collarbone and underneath that area. So that's where when we have a lot of tightness in that area and it might prevent some of those signals and some of that blood flow from getting down, then we get these symptoms in our arm that we consider nervy, where it gets achy and it just feels like that arm isn't quite moving, and then it might start tingling or get a little burning sensation. And along with that, there are different types of thoracic outlet, where they call, you know, thoracic outlet with a nervous system emphasis, or thoracic outlet with an arterial, or thoracic outlet with a venous system emphasis. Again, this is all more technicality, and I'll dive a little bit into it, but Most cases, they say, are nervous system-based, and fewer are arterial or venous, but the arterial meaning the blood's not getting out to the arm as well. The venous meaning the blood's not getting back up as well. So slightly different, and it'll present slightly different, but again, a clinician or someone would be able to help you sort that out. The third type, nervous system-based, in my personal and humble opinion, and in some reading I've done, I think most of it is nervous system based, because anytime we are experiencing these symptoms for more than 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, our body will always start to just kind of get used to that and develop this neural pattern of understanding, okay, when I do these movements, I occlude that, and then I get these symptoms. Mm-hmm. And then they'll just start coming on quicker, and our nervous system almost says, okay, this is our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that's a little bit of my own conjecture as to what I've learned about thoracic outlet, but anytime something's happening for a consistent amount of time, our body develops patterns. So that's a little background on thoracic outlet.
And that's the same of like thinking compensatory patterns. So, you know, a lot of people talk about compensations that we start to create within the body and different patterns that we start to build. And that's because your body gets used to, and it's all, we're creatures of always taking the path of least resistance, right? So if our body's like, oh, I got there much faster by using these muscles, and they're not necessarily the most effective for our body, but they create a more efficient pattern, you know, our body's going to then to do it. And then all of a sudden we start to build these patterns that...
And that's especially when we don't have symptoms right away when we do it.
Right.
Because normally when you start those patterns, you don't have any symptoms.
Right. Exactly. And so that's what we start talking about. And that's the same thing with the muscles, knowing, oh, when I lift my arm, now these muscles turn on rather than some other ones, or, you know, whatever it might be. And so that's where you start developing these patterns. The same thing of like cracking your back. Oh, I learned how to crack my back once. Now every time I go into this position, I can crack my back every time, right? It becomes easier and easier. So that's what we mean by the nervous system really starting to take over. This isn't bad. This is a learned pattern. But with that learned pattern, we also then know we can learn a different pattern and a different way of viewing something.
Yeah. Body's very smart. And people will say like, oh, how long is this going to take? Weeks and months of work? I'm like, well, work or just living in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And teaching our body to hold and posture a slightly different way. So there's definitely ways that we can work back from this. And Jen and I are going to just talk through some concepts as to, you know, how we think that we can approach opening this area and allowing our body to send those messages and get that blood flow back to the arm so we can reteach a new pattern.
I think one of the easiest ways to understand it too is through just hearing a little bit of our own stories with thoracic outlet.
Yeah, you should
outlet.
Share your story with scoliosis. Did you guys know that Jen has scoliosis?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so I do have scoliosis. So I didn't know I had scoliosis until I was teaching Pilates at a chiropractic office, and a year into teaching at this chiropractic office, one of the chiropractors was finally like, do you want to get your assessment? Like, I could get a free assessment because I taught there. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? I had no symptoms, no problems. I think at the time I had just worked at Disneyland, so I was an acrobat at Disneyland. Little fun fact.
a flying bug, literally.
No, that was Jessie. Oh, I did do bug, Jessie. Too. Yeah, it was a bug, a rat. I was a rat, Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
And
but you didn't get any of the cooking skills from the rat.
I'm sorry. Nope. I was just a bungee rat. Okay, anyways, that was a total...
tangent.
Yeah. But... you know, I was doing all these crazy things with my body, acrobatic stuff, calisthenic stuff, back bends and loading and lifting and just whatever. And I never had any pains and issues. I did notice, though, when I went into PT school and we had to do a photo where I was just wearing a sports bra and shorts because we wanted to get like a posture photo for PT school as we went through. I was like, oh my gosh, my left shoulder is way higher than my right. And my left side goes in way more than my right. I never noticed that. I never knew that. And one of my classmates even was like, oh, you probably do when you're instructing, you probably do planks on one side more than the other. And I'm thinking, do I do it that much more? I was like, that's a really weird thing. Anyways, went and got that x-ray. Found out that I had scoliosis. I literally thought I was being punked because I had that S curve. Scoliosis is an S curve when you're looking on the front. So normally we don't have any side-to-side curves through our spine. Yeah. That's what scoliosis is.
And it can be slightly different curves for depending on what type of scoliosis you have.
100%.
It's going to be individual, so it's not always a perfect S. It might be like more of a C. It might be in a slightly different spot of the spine. So.
And that's why there's no like, what's your plan for scoliosis? Well, it depends on your body. There's, like he said, so many different types and degrees and all the things. Anyways, so from there, you know, it was almost bad that I got that x-ray though, I must say, because it almost created this thing that I can then blame anything I felt on. And so I got that done when I was like in my young 20s. So I don't know if I was born with scoliosis or it was functional scoliosis that was created over time from being a gymnast or always doing one thing on one hand. You know, like having functional scoliosis within the body is actually, I believe, super normal because we do write with one hand more. We kick with one hand. We turn
kick
to
with one hand. I'm just kidding.
One leg. We turn to one side if we're wakeboarding or snowboarding or whatever it may be. You know, we're more one-handed in general. So it's normal to develop that. But then that became like, oh, when I do handstands now longer than 30 seconds, I feel my right arm literally starts to give out where it feels like I'm putting all the pressure now on my left hand and I can't put any weight on my right hand. And then as I started to learn more about thoracic outlet, I would do some of the tests and my hand would go numb. It would definitely be, I was like, oh, that's thoracic outlet. Oh, it's because I have scoliosis. And it became something I could blame it on all the time, which I wish I kind of didn't have. But at the same time, okay, it's an increased awareness of what's happening. And now if I can say, okay, my scoliosis changes my upper back, right? So my thoracic spine is now rotated and shifted because if I have a side curve, I also have a rotation with that. If I have that happening, then my rib cage is going to be resting a little bit differently. That's connected into my spine, right? And then what rests on top of my rib cage is my shoulder blade. So now my shoulder blade is going to, the muscles around it and the way that it glides around my rib cage is going to be a little bit different than from one side to the other. So for me in my head, that's where I could be like, okay, that makes sense. That's why I get muscles that work differently and start to pull on and have learned a pattern of compensation up into my neck and my shoulder and then down my arm in different positions that causes some occlusion of the vessels or the nerves. And that's what causes my numbness and tingling.
Yeah. Great. So
that
now
was,
what?
That was a long, long winded, but that's to say that I get it as well and it doesn't hold me back. So it's understanding that more and more.
Well, no, what I think that points out that's so great is that the symptoms are in the arm. We blame it on these tight muscles around the shoulder and neck and chest. And then we say, okay, open up the chest, strengthen the back, work your shoulder blade more, you know, work on your scalenes, all of this stuff. And in reality, we have to go one step further for you to say, hey, I've got this functional scoliosis, and that changes the way my ribs are positioned, which changes how my muscles around my neck and shoulder work. So when Jen is trying to address and maybe improve or try and do some maintenance on her right arm, she's not just working on the shoulder. She's working on her upper back and she's working in her low back and how she supports and creates a stable platform for that upper back to move on. So it all the way through the chain and how she's trying to work and support around this functional scoliosis she has.
And one great example that I just went to a course not that long ago with Rock Tape. And it was a movement specialist course. And one of the things that we did was we put rock floss, which is just like, think of it like a thick TheraBand. And we put that around the low rib cage because underneath our low rib cage is our diaphragm. This is where we should be breathing from. Now, when you kind of, it's almost like a trick in your mind, you can say, you know, if you squeeze one way, if I want to get more flexion in my in my elbow, right? I can push down on my forearm and then my body reflexively wants to pull against it. So if I'm putting a band around my low rib cage, my body is reflexively going to want to open from that band. So that allows me to breathe from my low rib cage and use my diaphragm better. When I did that and I moved through different motions, all of a sudden my upper spine rotation got so much better just from doing some breathing with a band around my low rib cage. My upper back, which usually doesn't rotate again very well to my right side's usually the thing that's always getting it. When I was able to do that, I noticed a significant increase in range. And that was a neurological thing from getting me to use my diaphragm more and change the way that my breath was, or my muscles were responding even within my breath and my rib cage.
Yeah, that's an interesting principle with the whole band around the rib cage thing. And I've seen similar things before where it is, it's creating this stability to just help our body feel something different. And you've seen me recently. I've been working a lot on my abdominal pressure and on controlling my rib cage without a band, you know, just trying to work my own core. And it's funny because you'll laugh at me because I'll be like working on my core just randomly in the middle of the day. But I feel my whole back and upper back and chest relax when I finally find that good pressurized system in my abdominal region. And then it just completely melts away the tension I'm feeling in my shoulder blades and my upper spine. So, I mean, in the past weeks, I've been noticing more and more of that myself because I've been doing it for a while now.
But that's amazing. That's a great example too, though, of like both people, PTs, who get symptoms of thoracic outlet where we have moments or areas where we can put our hands in different positions, whether it's overhead or out to the side or in a handstand, and we'll get those symptoms, right, of numbness, tingling, all those kinds of things. But for him, it's a more stability issue with the core, where for me, it's a more mobility issue with the rib cage.
And see, I also have the same mobility issue with the rib cage and thoracic spine, yet mine is one step further down the chain that I think my is the root cause, where because I don't have this stability in my low back, my upper back would tighten down and find the stability. And that's where I got these classic bro hunched forward shoulders,
rounded shoulders,
tight pecs, loose back. And then that's where when I find my stability and flexion here, even then I just feel my shoulders want to rest in a different place and do so comfortably.
Right.
So I'm not forcing my shoulders back.
Right.
I'm finding my stability and just letting my body rest where it's comfortable. And so that's where our symptoms, again, different root causes, similar end symptom.
And that's why there's no one fix for anything. That's what the whole point of the optimal body is. It's finding what optimal means within your body. But that's why, you know, within the optimal body program, we go through, and the new videos will show both Dom and I moving through these different exercises.
They're gonna look good.
So that you can really see two different people moving through the same type of exercise and where modifications or progressions might be used.
Very different mobility between those two people, mind you.
But the optimal body really allows you to explore mobility. So it can allow you to explore different restrictions within your body. It can allow you, you're going to go through core from level one, utilizing this diaphragm, pelvic floor, rib cage concept that we talk about. So finding that inner core alignment before we start to build on the rectus and the obliques and the and all the external aesthetics that we want within the core.
The show abdominal muscles.
So we learn how to do that in core one, and then we progress it through the month. And then there's also functional movements within the HIIT workouts that you really start to find different stability and strength and just, I mean, when you put it all together this way, it really expands what's possible within your body so that you can start to increase your own awareness and find where the cause can be in your own body.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying this because I've been doing the optimal body workouts since I knew Jen. You know, we've been doing them together, and when we work out together, we'll do a lot of them, mobility, core, HIIT. And just when we started doing them together, like I was already starting to learn a lot, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman has the most amazing mobility in the world. I need to step my game up. And so I'm learning and continuing to work on my own body. And then we record all these months of the optimal body. And when you start mentioning the core workouts, it's funny because I feel like my body relaxes and allows me to get into more mobility when I'm doing the core workout versus the mobility workouts. And that is because it attacks my root cause. And I find I feel more relaxed and I feel less tension in my shoulders because some of the mobility for me is a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it forces me to need to control with my breath more. During some of the core stuff, I'm just able to relax and focus on that stable foundation. And some of the mobility drills are a bit advanced for me, but there are progressions for all of them.
Yeah.
For wherever your body's at. But again, whatever your body needs, this program is going to help you find it. And I'm a PT who has this underlying education, and I learn things about my body every time we do these exercises. So, and again, not just saying that.
Yeah. It's the point of it is to educate you in your body. It's just like we're doing on the podcast. Mm. Just like we do on our Instagrams, you know, we're trying to educate you into your body. Might things change on a physical level and an aesthetic level? Sure. Mm-hmm. If you do enough of the HIIT workouts and the mobility flows and the core.
But that's coming from a more purposeful place.
Exactly.
And it's going to be more fulfilling because you are achieving multiple goals.
Yeah.
In that foundational goals and end game goals that are also just benefits.
Yeah. And for a small monthly payment, you continue to learn. Like, it's kind of crazy how cheap it is for two doctors of physical therapy. We should probably increase the price. So get in before we increase the price, because when we talk about it, I'm just like, God, there's so much education in there.
It is. And it's not just your, you know, workout flows that you're going to go through. Jen is educating like she's a PT sitting there in the room with you. Trust me, I do workouts with her daily, and she makes sure that I'm doing them correctly. Thank you very much for my love.
That's a thank you or not, but I'll take it.
But it's great. And for me, I do have, I'm an athlete. I'm a college athlete. And coming out of college athletics, I realized so many ways in which I could improve the way I move, and I always get to continue working on those. And the way we move is a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
And with thoracic outlet, it's a lifelong journey, because our nervous system and our body is going to have things thrown at it constantly throughout life that are going to want to bring us back to these places of comfort and things that feel easy, or the paths of least resistance Jen was talking about. And the Optimal Body podcast, the Optimal Body program are tools for you that are going to help you arm yourself with shields and swords to fight these things off for life.
Yeah. So hopefully you get in and join us. Thank you for listening to yet again another PT Pearl, and let's dive into another interview. Woo!
And now let's dive right into our guest, Dr. Shante Colefield, who's a doctor of physical therapy and also known as the Movement Maestro on Instagram.
Yeah, and she has largely become one of my huge mentors way back in the day. I think we met over 5 years ago in physical therapy. But what Maestro does so incredibly well is that she's able to take this crazy scientific stuff of what we do with the body and make it digestible for everyone. So whether you're a coach, you're someone just wanting to understand your body, you're a clinician, she is someone to learn from. So I'm really excited to dive in with her on this episode. And know that she has tons of online resources. So she's got online programs. She's got a membership for coaches and clinicians. She's got a podcast of her own, Maestro on the Mic. So there's so many other ways that you can come in contact with her. And we're so excited for you guys to really be able to learn from her and her amazingness in this episode with us.
Her amazingness. Yeah, really is a pioneer in bringing good digestible information to the masses. I've been excited for this one. We go over some really cool things that can bring the clinician or the average human some amazing skills, amazing thoughts, amazing ways of thinking about things. So, pretty pumped.
Well, hi, Shante.
Hello, Jennifer.
Thanks for being one of our first. You're brave, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we talk all the time anyway, and so I figured, why not actually record it, since you're always bugging me. With love, though. With love. I appreciate it. It's true. I'm glad that you never stop asking, even though I always say no. So thank you.
Finally, they say 7 exposures usually. By the time you got to 70, we finally broke through.
It's been about like 37 at least from Jenman. I love the persistence.
Well, I really appreciate having you here. You were one of my first mentors from afar, from the Instagram world before I even graduated PT school. I remember finding your page and just loving what I was seeing because it was different than what I was learning in PT school.
You say that to me and I'm always like blown away. You know, I think that's one of the coolest things about social media. Like you can be in contact with people without actually being in contact with them. And then like you say that and I'm like, wow, one, that was a really long time ago. And like two, it's like you have no idea the effect you could be having on someone. So thank you for saying that. I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Now, I think people need to know a little background of why and how I found you.
Sure.
So do you mind telling people just what you do in the online space, where you were at the time? I think that's interesting as well. And
sure thing.
And kind of what you were doing, because it was different than, you know, the typical physical therapy, at least in terms of what I was learning in school.
Yeah. So like Jen said, my name is Shantae. Most people, I guess, now know me as Maestro. And I am by trade a physical therapist. So I graduated from PT school in 2010. Oh my goodness. And was very quickly disenchanted with all of it. And I was like, this is not what I thought we were going to be doing. And, you know, got my first job and was just like, I don't like this. And if I fast forward about, I don't know, about 5 years, I found social media, right? I started CrossFit. And because of that, I took a deep dive and just like trying to learn more about it. And that led me to social media. And Kelly Starrett was really big at the time. WODDUCK was really big at the time. And I was just like, this is a pretty cool platform. And, you know, mind you, I'm still working full time in a clinic, but was just like, hey, I could like put some ideas on this platform. Why not? And I think I had the benefit of just time, right? So it just happened to be that I was born before you. And so I started doing things a little bit before you and was putting on social media what I was doing in practice and what I was seeing work and like blending the stuff from CrossFit and actual orthopedic physical therapy. And then I happened to take a rock tape class and it changed my life. I was just like, yes, there is a better way to do this. And really just started understanding the role of the nervous system and how that governs everything. And also seeing that there's a better way to live life. Like I was not really so happy with the trajectory at the time. You know, a traditional staff PT and wanting more. And Rock Tape showed me that I could do more, that I could educate people and that I could make a living educating people. And I could make a living traveling the world now, educating people. So I took a job with them. I left my full-time gig and started working for myself, doing some like private practice, cash-based PT, just to make all the ends meet. And that was in like 2015. And so from there, it's just been a matter of cutting out the things that I don't like. Something that I recommend to everyone that I coach is start with the list of things you don't like because it's easier to make and then cut those things out one at a time. So now I live in California, a beautiful Redondo Beach, not too far from Jen and Dom. And I spend my days on social media, really, and educating people, coaching people one-on-one, and doing right now a lot more of the business side of things, but still keeping my hand in the movement world just because that's where it got started. And that's where I'm at.
Nice. That's amazing. And that was, in a nutshell, I think, an amazing trajectory that a lot of young grads, myself included, I'm about 2 years out of school, and it just really inspires me. And I'll mirror what Jen said. I had heard of the Movement Maestro in the kind of circles that I was finding mentorship in and finding, you know, growth in coming out of school. And just, yeah, the way of doing things was so inspiring to me. I'm like, okay, people are doing things different. And I was getting into my clinicals and already I'm like, this can't be what I do for 10 years, you know?
Exactly.
And so I was going to say my first question, just based on what you said, was like, okay, 2010 and then 2015, you made that step to go out on your own and start your own practice and stuff. How did you kind of like navigate that? Because you say, okay, cut the things out. But I think the biggest thing that people get nervous about in any like young clinicians that are listening get nervous about is like, how do you know when to like make that step and start building the practice? And what kind of setting were you in, and when and why did you actually just cut the cord and leave?
For sure. So I think that students, present students and recent grads, new grads, are in a little bit of different and perhaps difficult position, because you are exposed via things like social media to all the potential and possibility that's out there. But I'm going to encourage anyone that's a student or a new grad to realize that you are looking at someone's chapter 18, and you cannot compare that to your chapter one. So when I left I was in a traditional orthopedic setting. I was in New York City, so it was high volume clinic. We had sessions every 20 minutes, so it was a lot. And there's benefits to that, don't get me wrong. But I was also 5 years out. So that's a ton of experience. And you guys know, like, I'm very anti-residency, because a lot of the things that people try to say is like, you'll get 3 years of experience in 3 months. That's not science, right? The only way you're going to get time experience is with time. So one of the biggest things I tell people is, despite what you may see on social media, and yes, we are in a PT cash-based renaissance revolution right now. It's amazing. But I encourage new grads, recent grads, students to not feel so pressured to go and immediately start their own practice. If they feel comfortable doing it, amazing. But if you don't, there's absolutely nothing wrong. I think there's actually a lot of benefit to going and working for someone, going and working in different settings, and really figuring out what you do and don't like. And then when you're in a setting, you'll know when you're like, man, I just can't do this. This is not what I want to be doing. Then you can start putting things in place. And I'm really not a Gary Vee person. I don't really support the burn the ships model and like, quit your job. I'm like, you're going to be homeless, so maybe don't do that. I'm going to recommend that you think about having that safety net. I was able to go and start doing cash based because I had Rock Tape as a safety net. I was getting income from them from teaching. And, you know, mind you, like I said, I was 5 years out by that time. So I had just established contacts. I had other friends that actually had their own clinics, and that's where I rented space from. And I started also renting space out of my CrossFit box. I was doing home visits, not like to do a home health agency, but just, you know, one-on-one visits. But that was also because I was established within the community, because I was 5 years out. So for the new grads, the recent grads, the students that are listening to it, understand the value of time. And the reality that I think, again, it takes time. I think that we really look at social media and we see people's chapter 18 and we're like, that's amazing. I can do it. I'm going to like be working remote and like have a digital product and like have a membership. And it's like, that takes time. You have to remember all that goes into building that foundation beforehand. So I encourage people that are in PT school or graduating, things like that, go and get your feet wet. There's such a backlash right now about these high volume clinics, but there's also benefit to them. I'm not saying that, oh, you should definitely go work in one, but if you end up in one, there's a lot of benefit in that you're going to see a ton of people. And that's going to tell you right off the bat what kind of people you like working with, what kind of people you don't like working with. It's going to give you the soft skills of managing people and managing personalities. And then from there, it becomes a lot easier to cut out what you don't like because you've actually started to have experience. You can't know what you don't like until you've tried it. So I tell people, get started, get a job, pay some bills. And then when you're like, actually, I don't like this, then we take a step back or laterally and adjust. And maybe that means, you know, working home health so that you have an income while you build up your side hustle and things like that. But I'm not going to recommend that you're just like, and here I go, jumping in, burn the ships. I'm going to figure it out, because you're going to figure out real fast that you're poor and homeless.
I absolutely love that you guide people into that, because that's exactly what I say as well. I think, you know, it's really easy to look at an Instagram and think, oh, okay, that's what they did. That's exactly what I'm going to do. But in the reality, you're like, wait, hold up. Exactly. I've been building this Instagram for 6 years.
Exactly.
I've been educating for a long time before I even decided to make anything out of it.
Exactly.
And I didn't go into Instagram thinking that I was even going to build a business. It just kind of evolved into one because I was listening to the feedback and testing out different things. And even as I was working at a full-time job where there was higher turnover, I took clients on the side on my own to, again, prove the theory that it worked.
I love your story. And like, hopefully on one of these episodes, you share it. Because I think it's really important for people to hear and realize, like, Jen's story didn't start yesterday, and it didn't even start when she first started on Instagram. Like, Jen was doing gymnastics and all that stuff for years beforehand, which allowed her to be able to do these things and then go into this community and do her calisthenics and body weight and go. And like she said, not even trying to do this as a business. There's so many steps and so much time that gets put in beforehand. And I love that you just said, like, it starts organically. Like, my stuff with social media was the same thing. I wasn't like, I'm going to build an empire now. I was like, I can make a video for 15 seconds. This is fun. And then it becomes something. So, you know, speaking back to Dom's point, I think that you guys, in some regards, have it a little bit harder because there are these models out there that maybe aren't even showing the back end of things. And, you know, when I got started and Joan Jen got started, there was like not really like a template or like a wrong way or a right way to do things. It was just like, here's Instagram, like post mm-hmm. a picture and put a filter on it. Right. So I think it's super important that we consider the backstories and hopefully, Jennifer, you share yours if you haven't already.
Well, and people can go listen to my story on your podcast. So yeah, if you guys want to find that, you know, shared the entire story. I remember even being in that podcast and being like, wait, am I talking about myself too much right now?
No, I was like, going to shake you. Absolutely not. No. This is really valuable, important stuff. Like, people need to hear it. It's just, I love social media and I will forever sing its praises. And we're seeing right now firsthand the benefit, the good side of it. You know, there's a lot of bad sides, but there's a ton of good sides. And it's very easy to just see you and be like, oh, that's easy. She has like a gazillion followers. And then like, she just like do this thing. She makes video. And like, the actual product is the easy part. And it still takes a lot of time, right? Like, making a video is the easy part. It takes time, but it's the easy part. It's all the stuff behind it and the years of work behind it and then schooling and the education and the experience that goes into building that and establishing that and the ability to listen and keep your finger on the pulse of things and actually be able to respond to what people want and provide what people need.
Mm-hmm.
That takes time.
Mm-hmm. And continued learning and everything. And I think that's why even as you stepped out and you started your own thing, like, who was it that you heard from in a Rock Tape course that really made you say, this is amazing, and this is where I want to shift into? Who was that?
Dr. Perry Nicholson, aka Stop Chasing Pain. You guys listening probably know him. Crazy man, love him to death. So I actually took that Rock Tape course for him. I didn't really care about tape. I was like, just put it on your skin. Like, from day one with tape, I was just like, just put it on. Like, this can't be rocket science. I knew that I didn't want to take a KT tape because they were really about the like origin to insertion stuff. And I was like, that's not science. So my friend Jesse was like, take a Rock Tape course. Actually, it's pretty good. And I had discovered social media. I was following Perry and he was teaching in New York. And I was just like, dude, I'm going to sign up for this course because I want to know more from him. I wasn't so much about the modality itself, but I was like, this man's so passionate and like the stuff he's putting out, you can feel it. You can feel the excitement. I want to take it for him. So I went and took that course and I left knowing how to tape. Yeah. But feeling so inspired and just like, there's a better way. There's more out there. I can do more and let's go.
Yeah, totally. And then from there, did you start teaching for Rock Tape or how did that?
I did. I kind of got fast tracked on it. So For my female listeners out there, right, for your female listeners out there, that was the first time in my life that I actually asked for something. And I think that as women, we need to do more of that.
Yes.
We tend to just work really hard. Now, maybe I'll remove that just. We tend to work really hard and then hope, pray, expect that someone's going to see it and care and give us that opportunity. And sometimes maybe, but usually no. You have to also ask. And so I happened to have a student at the time when I was taking that course, Mark, and I'll never forget, I still talked to him. And he was telling me about all these opportunities he had. He like went to this course, he did this other thing, he had lunch with somebody. And I was like, my dude, how in the hell did you get all of these things? And he was like, oh, I asked. And I like fell out of my chair. I was like, excuse me? That's a thing? You just like ask them? So I went, I had that conversation with him on Friday and I went to the course the next day on Saturday. And then Sunday, I emailed Perry after the course and was like, Perry, how do I become an instructor? I know I want to do this. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how much money it is. Like, I want to do this. And because I had also kind of already established a relationship with Perry and I was kind of putting stuff out on social media a little bit before then, we were friends. And he was just like, with Rock Tape, you're really brought in by somebody else. And so he was like, I'll forward you to Allison. And then he sent my stuff in there. And I don't know, a few months later, I heard back from Steve, the head guy. And he was like, are you still interested in working for Rock Tape? We have positions open during the week. And I just wrote back, yes. I didn't even know if it paid any money, Jen. I was like, yes. Like, I was just so about it. I was like, I will work at Costco. I will figure it out because this is the opportunity. And so that was, I took the course in like February or March. And by October, actually, I was teaching. I like went and did some like, you know, shadowing sessions and things like that. And then I had my first personal private ever one-on-one course I taught later in that year in October. The rest is history. I went out and did it. And I was like in like Peoria, Illinois or something like that. It was some random ass place. But I was just like, this is what I'm meant to do. And I threw myself into it wholeheartedly and never looked back.
Wow, that is quite the story. I can't believe you absolutely fast-tracked that from February to October. That's incredible. But I think that's such a valuable, incredible lesson, especially for women, like you said, to be able to ask. Like, if this is something that you're interested in, ask. I can even say, going back to meeting you, and it's scary to be like, oh, here's someone that I look up to. Here's a mentor. And you know what? I want to get together with her and meet her. And I'm just going to ask, like, hey, you want to come down to the beach and meet me on the beach?
I remember you guys listening. Jen messaged me and I was just like, I don't know. Are you going to do handstands with you? Because at the time you were like posting a lot of handstand and yoga stuff. And I was just like, not yoga stuff. I hate that people call it yoga stuff, but posting a lot of handstand stuff. And she messaged me and was just like, do you want to meet at the beach in Santa Monica? And I was like, this chick is going to try having me upside down doing some crazy stuff. And then what happened? We met up and Jen was like, so you want to go on these parallel bars and go upside down? And I was like, no, actually.
It wasn't fully upside down. Okay. It was a crow and you
That's
upside down.
That's inverted, Jennifer.
I saw the video.
Off the ground. Off the ground. The first time we met. And then that guy James was there and he was like, do you want to climb my body? And I was like, what are these people?
James.
But it was great.
I had an amazing time.
And I'm forever grateful that you asked. Like, we run in the same circles, similar circles, and I tell people all the time, you are a connector and you ask, and that's like, it's so huge. Like, Jen keeps asking me to come over and meet up and do things, and that's like, it's such a skill, right? And it's so valuable that like more people could use that. So I'm very grateful that you do that.
Well, thank you. You've helped mold me into what I'm doing now. And I appreciate you a ton. And I think other people get to learn really what this Rock Tape thing is because there's so much pushback and there's a lot of loud voices out there right now saying, this is bad, this is good, this is right, this is wrong. And it can get confusing, especially if you just want to learn about the body. Like, hey, like, I don't know what to believe or who to believe. Some people are saying tape is stupid and pointless and cupping doesn't do anything. And the Graston stuff, it's not, you know, like there's a lot of noise. And I think you are so great at really just bringing the science to it, really. It's not even about making it right, wrong, good, bad. It's just truth.
That's it. Science is facts here.
Yeah.
We can see this. You know, as it relates to the kickback when it comes to modalities, and just things in general, I said a while ago that I have left the business of convincing. If you don't believe in something, I don't really care. If you don't want to use it, I also don't care. Don't use it. I'm not here to convince you otherwise. Like, I don't need to be doing that. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn more, cool. I would love to talk. But if you don't want to use it or you hate it or you don't believe in it, like, okay, bye. Just do whatever you want. You know, I think as a consumer, right, I know that this is when it can get difficult. My advice to anyone as a consumer is to try things, right? Go in and be your own best advocate and be a scientist. You can look at things online and, you know, yeah, there's a lot of noise out there. But at the end of the day, only you are going to know what works best for you. You have to be willing to try things. And notice I didn't say take things at face value and just believe in them blindly. I said try it. Give it a whirl and see, like, did this help me? Did I feel better? And be your own objective scientist. Yes, I can tell you the facts and the actual science behind how this thing works. But guess what? We're humans. As such, there's a lot of subjectivity within things and beliefs are very real things. And if you don't believe in something, it doesn't matter if the science is behind it. It may not and probably won't work. So if you are finding yourself on the other side of this with like, this thing, I see the red X on this and I see a green check mark on that thing. Well, one, turn off that noise. Don't follow some of those accounts. And two, go and try things for yourself. I really am happy that I work for Rocktape because my audience is not the general consumer. My audience are fellow providers of any sort, whether PTs, chiros, massage therapists, trainers, things like that. And my goal is to educate the ones who want to learn and who want to listen. And so with them, I really do default heavily to the science behind things and the objective science. And when I say science, that's not synonymous with studies. It's very different. There's plenty of studies that are not science at all. They're just, quite frankly, terrible. So I should probably say I revert to objective measures and looking at things of like, hey, this is how this is having its effect. One of the things that I see on social media, and I had this discussion today, one of the things I see is that there's a lot of arguments because there's a lot of bad questions, right? Does this work for back pain? That's a terrible question. One, what the heck does work even mean? And two, what the heck is back pain? That's such a nebulous concept there. Like, there could be a bazillion different things that are causing it. Whereas if we're asking better questions like, how could this intervention have its effect? Now we start getting into better questions, which means we will get better answers. And that's where I fall into the social media space is like, hey, this is how this thing is having its effect. Tape, it's not black magic. It's not voodoo. It's not holding a joint in place. It's simply touching your skin, communicating with your brain. And from the mechanical side, it's helping to decompress tissues. That's it. Will that help your back pain? I have no idea. I really don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Will that help your knee pain? I also don't know. But if it does help it, this is how it's having its effect. That's all I'm going to say. We talk about the same thing for tools. Is it breaking up scar tissue? Absolutely not. And I've done posts showing in real time using ultrasound, like this is what happens when we use a vibrating foam roller. This is what happens when we use a tool, that we are once again communicating with receptors in the tissue, in your skin, in your fascia. And we're helping with interlayer glide, right? Helping that fascia, that tissue to slide and glide better past itself. Will that help your pain? I don't know, right? Because pain is subjective. So if we go back to that whole asking better questions, like we need to be asking, what is pain? Yeah, because it can be a million different things, caused by a million different things. Can this affect your tissues in this way? Can this affect your nervous system in this way? I can give you a more concrete answer for that. But will this affect, fix, change, eradicate your pain? I don't know. Right? You want a better answer? Please ask a better question. So that's where I live in the social media space. That's where I live in the teaching education space. I think that's become my mantra overall is if you want better answers, please ask better questions.
No, I love that. And I think a lot of when I deal with, whether it's patients or when I'm working with patients or clients or whoever, you know, they do ask those very just nebulous, open-ended questions. Yeah. And I'm always just like, it's a blessing and a curse because every question you can, of course, dive into for like 10 minutes and say, I'm just going to tell you things you can do and ways that I know our nervous system and physiology will react. And I think as young providers and just people in general, we start to lose trust in our ability to fall back on that just baseline, again, education and truth and fact and the things that we know are good. A lot of the times we just see these things face value on social media and then react again because of something that we're more connected to emotionally, which is good because we're humans and we're emotional beings and we feel those things. And that's kind of what I want to get into next. Again, as somebody who's really young in this kind of area online and kind of starting to just put out content, I love what both of you talked about just in being willing to say yes and put content out and like always encouraging people to do that. That's amazing. I'm starting to do that myself. It's been a way that I've had a lot of amazing experiences. I'll just say like, hey, I'll show up. And early on, you might be giving time and you might be giving some of your resources for that amazing experience and connection, but it's just what you need to do to then, again, set the foundation for the amazing things that you can grow on top of that. The question I want to get to for you is when you start doing that, when you start putting yourself out there, when you start putting out what you're passionate about, what you want to put out your, quote, truth about, and you do get pushback and you do get people who are verbal about that, especially on something like social media that's just this open forum, how do you handle or react to stuff like that?
The biggest thing, and I've talked to Jen about this a bunch, I have been doing this since September 24th, 2014 was my first post, actually.
Wow.
I've been doing this, because like you have that course that I run, so I had to like look back to see my first post. So, that was my first post. And I can count on one hand the number of times that I've really gotten kickback, pushback, trolled, or anything like that. And I think that's largely a matter of what you're putting out, right? I truly believe that we attract what we are, not what we want. So how are we showing up in the space and how are we leading? Like I hear some coaches talk about, you know, if you want to do well, I don't even know what do well means, but do well on social media can be really polarizing. I really disagree with that. I think that we should be putting out things that we're convicted about, but also just stating at the same time, like, this is my opinion. This is what my experience has been. And I think that people feel that. They see that. They read it. They hear it. They understand that. It's when people come and are, you know, presenting this very black and white, red check, green, whatever, red X, green check, that then we start to get kickback because you've just, you know, said, this is the only way. When you draw that line in the sand, we can't be surprised when someone else says, you know, they go and kick your line and throw sand at you because you've drawn that line. So I think the first thing to start off with is just be like, understanding that nothing is concrete. Like, just be like, this is what I know. This is what we know so far. Because even if we look at it from science, we know that this is going to change in years. So for us to be so steadfast and be like, this is completely impossible and completely wrong and the only way, is probably not the best way to go about it. Whereas if we take a softer yet still convicted approach of like, hey, this is what the science is showing us right now. This is what I know as of right now. And this is what worked for me. Something else may work for you. I think it really lends itself to discussion if they want that wants to be had. And also people are just like, oh, okay, cool. Yes, I think in general, there are some, you know, to quote, what's his name from Batman, some men just want to watch the world burn. So every now and then you that unhappy person, but there's a really cool feature on Instagram and it's called delete. And you just swipe over and then the person's comments deleted. And then if you really want, you can block them. So I think it just starts off with, you know, leading with light, being kind, attracting what you are, not what you want. So putting that good stuff out there. And for those of you listening that maybe are coaches of any kind, right? We understand that the best way to coach someone is to tell them what to do, not what not to do. You don't tell someone, don't let your knees come in. You're going to tell them, push your knees out. It's a way better cue. As such, that's what we should be looking to do on social media instead of saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Because then people are still like, well, what do I do? Just say, hey, this is what I believe in. This is what's worked really well for me. Give it a shot. Let me know how it goes. The end.
Yes. And I love that, you know, coming into this social media world, even I was so afraid to start putting stuff out, being a young clinician and being like, who's going to listen to me? I'm still learning. Yeah. But what I found is that it can be extremely connecting, especially yes. in the way that you present it. And what I've loved is seeing the support from clinicians across, you know, the country, yes. no matter if it's chiropractic or physical therapy or acupuncture or whatever it may be. And I think I really hope that moving forward, we can continue to cultivate that, whether you agree with the person or not. Listen, we're not going to agree with everything.
Yeah.
But I love and appreciate what you do and how you've even shifted your mindset on certain people you don't agree with. And you're just like, yeah. hey, they're doing their thing. And if it's helping people, it's helping.
Like, you guys listening to this, if there are accounts out there, right, and they have a gazillion followers, instead of being all hateful, because honestly, you're just salty that you don't have those followers. That was me at one point in time. I'm not going to lie. And so you just try to cut that person down. You're like, oh, this is stupid. And that's not even real. And they're making that up. So one, stop following them. Like, don't hate follow people. Nobody has time for that. We're recording this. I don't know when this is coming out, but we are in the midst of COVID-19 craziness. And hopefully this craziness is showing people like, oh my God, remember that stupid argument I had on Instagram last week? Doesn't matter. Like, hopefully we start to realize what actually matters because of all of this. But if you're hate following someone, please stop. And then two, realize that we have something to learn from everyone. So if there's a big account that's a healthcare provider, and maybe you don't agree with what they're saying, that's fine. If you insist upon continuing to follow them, I encourage you to take a step back and be like, what has this person done to have so many followers? And don't just take the easy road out and be like, oh, it's because you're showing their ass or like whatever, because that's not the only reason, right? Take a step back and be like, what is this person saying, doing? How are they interacting? How are they showing up that it's resonating with people? And one of the biggest things I see right now is the back and forth between our own profession, right? PTs. Mm-hmm. And then we have some PTs that have like 3 followers and then some PTs that have a gazillion followers. And it's always the people that have like a private account and 3 followers that want to come out and be a keyboard warrior. And you'll notice in general across the board for anything, people will never, ever, ever say something about someone who is doing less than them. They will never. An account with 500 people will never go after an account with 50 people. An account with, I don't even care, 100,000 people will never go after an account with 300 people. It doesn't happen. It's only the other way around where that smaller account is looking at the bigger one and trying to cut them down every single time. So instead of doing that, take a step back and say, what has that person done to garner this following? Because if our actual intent is to connect with people, that bigger account is doing something right. And I think people, they forget that. You know, kind of circling back to what I was saying about the, you'll never attack someone that has fewer followers or anything like that. I've had this discussion with people and I'm like, well, I see that account over there that they just said the same thing as that big account and you didn't say anything to them. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? Mm-hmm. And then the people will be like, it's our duty. Everyone defaults to that. Suddenly everyone is morally obliged and obligated to save everyone on social media. It's our duty. It's your duty to help your people. That's it. Straight. Everyone has a sword all of a sudden. Like literally everyone becomes Robin Hood and you're like, what is happening here? It's your duty to connect with your people. And, you know, I think you've done a phenomenal job with that, Jen. Like I tell everyone, like if you guys, whether you guys agree with what she's saying or not, doesn't really matter. Look at the number there. Look how many comments are there. Look at the interaction. Look at the trust that's been built. If our main goal as providers is to help our people, she's winning, right? And we need to be looking at that and figuring out how do I connect with people in the same way that these bigger accounts are doing. So that's going to be my overall, you know, soapbox speech about social media. Clearly, I have a lot of feelings about it.
I love the superhero. I mean, you mentioned Robin Hood, and I heard someone just say, this might have been on like a movie, but like, there's no difference between villains and superheroes. Like, Batman and Superman, like, destroy cities and planets. Like, Superman has destroyed planets. And they're talking about Darth Vader. Like, Darth Vader goes out for a purpose, too. And he has a lot of people to, a lot of people following him. It's just a different crowd, you know?
Dude, that's a great analogy there. Not that the good guys, yeah. Like, when you're putting stuff out, kind of circling back to Dom's original question there, like, you will build an army no matter what you pull out. You can build an army of positivity or you can build an army of negativity. Right, there's accounts out there, I'm not going to say any names, but they have built an army, literally, behind being pissed off and angry. Mm-hmm. So whatever you put out there, remember, you attract what you are, not what you want. You want good things, you don't want trolls, you want happy people, you want people that want to get better. Lead with that. Put that out. Don't be Darth Vader.
Which I extremely appreciate. Just the consistency that you've had, the trust that you've built, and the way that you educate. And I think that's why you have that trust as well. It's not only everyday people, so everyone go check out the Movement Maestro because she does give tons of education and you really show it and you really are so good at talking the science and making it adjustable and digestible for people to, you know, really take in and understand for themselves, but also clinicians, as a physical therapist myself, Shante, you've always been someone I've looked up to and I've learned so much from, obviously in person, not just on Instagram, but you support so many clinicians now in your courses and online and in your mafia group. So if you guys want to hear and learn more and continue to be supported by Shante, I really highly recommend at least go check out her Instagram, The Movement Maestro. Dive into some of the tools and the courses that she provides everyone because there's just so much good content in there. And if you are a clinician, you want to continue not only to learn, but to see how you can start to step out and share your message. Shante does an amazing job on also supporting Instagram growth and growing authentically in this space of so many people doing it too and not being afraid to be another voice out there. So thank you so much for everything that you do. You've continued to inspire me. And I know that as with Dom coming in, you've inspired him as well.
It's just real. I mean, that's just something that comes to like, regardless of the content you put out, you're just real with it. And so if you like real content, give it a look.
I appreciate that, guys. I truly, truly appreciate that. It means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I hope that people kind of get a little bit out of this in terms of not being afraid to try things, not being afraid to use common sense and understand that your body responds differently. So whether it is getting into rock tape, utilizing the tape, the rock blades, the pods in different circumstances. And actually, I have been taping my mouth and my nose at night just to kind of open up the airways. And I do feel good.
Yes. She's taping the bridge of her nose, guys, because that just sounded like you're asphyxiating yourself. Taping my nose and my mouth. I'm living on the edge. Oh, good, good.
Let me tell you, when you're awakened by somebody who's got that stuff on their face like that, it's quite alarming.
That's because Dr. Dom's falling asleep on a bed, giving himself a broken neck.
Because Dr. Dom is up early with the sunrise every morning, getting his rhythms going. Sorry.
It's the best stories of Instagram ever.
You're not wrong, though.
All right. Well, we'll let you go. We won't hold up so much of your time. But thank you so much for coming into our community and just continuing to do everything you're doing. Everyone go check her out. Go support her because, Shante, you amazing.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Dr. Dom. Thank you, Dr. Jen. This has been awesome. And thank you for listening. You could have been doing anything and you chose to tune in. So thank you. Truly appreciate it. Would love to see you on the Instagram.
Thank you so much for listening to us on the Optimal Body Podcast, where we're going to continue to bring you the PT pearls and guests that will help you find your optimal body. Now, head over to wherever you listen to this and leave us an honest review, and head to docgenfit.com/podcast where you can find all the show notes.
Don't forget that we're going to give away a free month to someone who subscribes, leaves us an awesome review, and lets us know what they want to review on the next PT Pearl. So we'll be choosing that once a week to get into a free month of the Optimal Body membership.